no board, when Angie was preparing this bulletin, I told her it's Terrence Moore who was going to share, and she's like, who's Terrence? Who's that? I said, you know him. She said, I don't know Terrence. So I had to inform her that Terrence is otherwise known as Bud. I said, oh, okay, I know who that is. So some time ago, Bud and I shared and communicated, and Bud has the Lord has placed on Bud a burden, a word that he wants to share. And so as we discussed different times for him to share possibilities, this was a Sunday that for Bud was one, I guess, at his best. And so we scheduled Bud to share this morning. So I'm going to ask Bud to come on up. Can we just give a round of applause as Bud comes up? Great.
So, is this thing on?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
It's on. Okay. Let's just lift him up to the Lord as he comes. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we thank you for special anointing upon your servant, upon your son. Lord, I pray he might cause his thoughts to flow in a way that makes sense to all of us. Lord, speak to him and speak through him. Father, I pray it will be easy for him to share this morning because of your anointing, because of your presence, and because of your grace. But Lord, may the words that come forth, Lord, not just be words that we can understand, but Lord, may they be words that plant the seeds of truth into our lives. Lord, may it be words that water the seeds of truth that are already in our lives. Lord, may we all be edified. May you, Lord, be glorified. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.
Good morning. Right now, Pastor Joe's probably thinking, oh my, he bought a bag. You mentioned this table, Pastor Joe, and said it was for things of faith. I'm going to borrow it. This side of the church must have heard I was speaking today because they're not here. Either that or it was the snow. Let's hope it was the snow. Now, don't let this scare you, because while I may have a lot of paper here, I write big so I can glance at it and see it, because my eyes are terrible. This is kind of interesting here. Most important thing. Yeah, I'll explain. Okay. I have a feeling Pastor Joe's going to figure out here just shortly. He let the pyromaniac, gave the pyromaniac the keys to the firework stand. Because if anything, I'm passionate for the Lord, and the Lord's been calling me for some time. He's been giving me messages for years, and I've been texting them out because, frankly, I didn't have a place to preach from. Mainly to encourage others, but to also to show a lighter side of things. In fact, the Lord told me this morning, he said, keep it light. Keep it light, because the God, and I shared too with our sister up here, Danielle, how the Lord, how the gospel can be very heavy sometimes. It really can be. If you consider what he did and the life he led, it can be very, very heavy. And I think we miss that a lot of times in Scripture. We really do. Anybody been watching The Chosen? Anybody? A couple back there? Over here. I encourage you, if you haven't, please do so. It will bless you. I promise you it'll bless you. It'll give you another perspective on Christ that, well, frankly, I didn't have. it, as I watched it, I found myself, my perspective on Christ changing slightly, because it actually made him more real to me. Not as God, because God is sovereign. He's always there. But Jesus, the man, he was so amazing to me. And the thought that he had humor in his life, and he was really good with those little quips. He was talking about when he went in and met with Eden, Simon's wife, and he said, he said to her, you know, I know this is tough on you, and he says, with Simon Peter going away with me, he said, but traveling with a normal Simon is bad enough, but traveling with a worried Simon, oy. they both shared a laugh on that, and he went in and healed Eden's mother, Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And with that, when I saw him kind of crack that joke there, it really touched a place in my heart and my mind, because I realized it wasn't just all this heavy weightiness of the gospel. And it can be. It really can be. But we have to remember something as Christians, and this isn't even in my sermon. I don't know why I'm going here. Except the Lord's leading me here. Is that we as Christians have to remember one thing. When we try to encourage others and try to spread the gospel, we've got, and this is where this comes in, we've got to remember one thing. This is kind of a golden rule when you're preaching the gospel or witnessing to someone or giving a testimony, anything. If they don't see this, they're not going to want to hear about this. Amen? Okay. Anyway, get to that later. Anyway, for a long time I was fearful about standing in front of the church. And frankly, it was with the help of some brothers, one of them right there, another one over here. And honestly, the discipleship that I've received here through Pastor Joe has come to a point where I realize it's time for me to step out of the boat. And I think about that moment from time to time, and I wonder how hard it was for Peter to step out on that water. I mean, the storm's raging, and all he sees is what he perceives as a ghost out there, and yet he's going to step out of the boat onto the water because the Lord called him. I can do no less. So here I am trying to do what I think God is calling me to do. Now, I'm not Joe, and I'm not a trained speaker. But I believe that God has laid this message on my heart for the church and the body of Christ here. So maybe, just maybe, there's a reason why the Lord gave me this particular message to preach about today. And maybe it's just to get us to change our perspective just a little bit. Because this is nothing you haven't heard before, honestly. It's not. I can tell you nothing here, unless you're a brand new Christian, and I don't think we have any brand new Christians. Do we have any brand new Christians here? So I'd better ask. No? Well, there's nothing I can tell you here that you haven't heard before. So let's just get into this. Let's start with the concept of light and life. The Bible teaches us that each of us carry the light within us. And it reminds me, I'm missing something. Oh, there it is. Yeah, you didn't know there was going to be fire involved today, did you? Anyway, in John 1:4, it says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light that shines into darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. You, the church. That's who he's speaking about right there. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one in Luke 11:33, he says, no one lights a lamp and puts it in its place, or puts it in a place where it will be hidden, under a bowl. That's my bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. Casey's going to be our stand today. She's volunteered to help me. Not right yet, not yet. I'll tell you when. But they put it on its stand so those who come in may see the light. But what is this light? The light is, I've got this in my notes here, and you may have a different interpretation than I do, but the light is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit when our faith is coupled with the hope that we have in Jesus. Another way to simply think about it is love. So how can we do this? How can we shine our light? I'm glad you asked. There are many ways to shine your light. Through service to others, through hospitality, through ministries, such as that bottle ministry out there, through testimony. And that's one I want to focus on today, is testimony. What is your testimony? Scripture says in John 6:44, and by the way, there's two types of testimony. At least this is my understanding. There are two main types of testimony. The first one is the important one, how you came to God. Scripture says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day. So this is where you were at in your life, what was going on, the things that were happening, how God called you to him, where did he speak, you know, where he called you at, when you first remember hearing his voice, and what that was all about, and what it looked like. And then, what happened? What happened when you received Christ? What was it when you when you first heard his voice? Did you question it? I did. Honestly, I was on a treadmill of all things, walking on a treadmill, and I heard his voice. Of course, when I first heard it, I was like, okay, somebody's got a speaker in here. They're gaslighting me or something. They're playing a trick on me. But it wasn't. I mean, I shut off the treadmill. I looked around the room. I went around through the house. And I'm like, somebody's playing a trick. As soon as I got back on that treadmill, he started speaking again. And he kept calling me. And finally, I just stopped. And I said, I knew who it was. And truth be known, I'd been running from him for some time. And I asked him, I said, what do you want, Lord? He says, I want you to come to an altar. Okay. Right after I get a CAT scan. That was the first thought in my head. Right after I get a CAT scan, I'll do that. Of course, I knew what it was, but I was hesitant, thinking, why is he calling me now? But all this makes up your testimony, and I won't go any further into that because that's a talk for another day. But that's part of your testimony. Have you wrote it down? Have you wrote yours down? Because I can tell you, brothers and sisters, it's important. Scripture teaches us in 1 Peter 3:15, But let your hearts, but in your hearts revere the Lord, the Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for your hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Remember to smile. Is there another type of testimony? Yes. Let's look at Psalm 71, verses 15 through 17. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, your saving acts all day long. Though I know not how to relate them all, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. This is something God has done good in your life. For myself, I can tell you that he has healed me personally of cancer. I found myself in a hospital, 6 months? 6 months after I got saved. And they told me I had colorectal cancer on my transverse colon. And without going into a big, long testimony on that, simply put, one day it was there. They did 3 CTs that night, to include one with where they fill you up with fluid. And they had all these images, and they said, you've got this. I think they called it an apical lesion. So big, it was about yay big around. And that was what was causing the problems. But the following day, after a Christian brother, who's not here right now, Chad Sullivan, who was there when I got saved, he had come over and he prayed with me and my wife that morning of where they're going to take me back there and do a colonoscopy and all that prep work and all that stuff before they did the surgery. I woke up back in the room and they said, you don't have cancer. What happened? They said, well, we don't know, but it's not there anymore. Okay? So that's an example, though. That's an example. What has God done in your life that you can testify to others about? And why do we do this? So anytime you recognize that God's done something wonderful, something special in your life, this is an opportunity for you to share about his goodness, his grace, his mercy, and his love for you to others. Again, Psalms 66:16. Let me back up. Write these down. Keep a record. Pastor Joe has taught us about this before, calling these altars. These are important. Psalm 66:16 says, come in here, all of you who fear God, and I will tell you what he's done for my soul. Matthew 10:32 says that, and this is in the ESV, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But why do we give testimonies? I ask you, why do we give testimonies? Tim, help me out here. Why do we give testimonies? That's what I've got in my notes here. Exactly. Thank you. Just like my brother said, why do we give these testimonies? To glorify God? Why? Because he deserves it. He deserves so much more than we can ever give him. And why do we do that? Because we love him, correct? We love him. We lift him up in praise every Sunday. And hopefully, throughout the week, we lift him up in praise and glorify his name. John 15:8 says, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, proving yourselves to be my disciples. Think of it this way. If somebody is always looking after you, always taking care of you, no matter what, even when you screw up, anybody screw up? I have. Probably more than my share. Simply because, and they look after you simply because of their love for you. Don't you think you would want to thank that person? Don't you think you would seek them out, lift them up in praise and thank them, and bless them, bless their name? Especially when you don't deserve it? Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's another reason? Does anybody like to fish? Kenny's eyes just opened up. You like to fish, Kenny? Okay, amen. So do I. Although I don't seem to find the time anymore. I don't know why. Anyway, let me explain it to you this way. If someone was to tell you that they just came home from a fishing trip and they showed you this great bunch of fish that they just caught, Kenny, and you know the next day you're going to go out to that very same place and you're going to fish in the same place, you're going to use the same thing that they just used because they told you, yeah, use minnows, whatever. Don't you think you'd be encouraged by what you just saw? What they just told you? Especially you're going the very next day. Don't you think that you might have a little faith that the Lord, if the Lord blessed me with those fish, he'd also bless you? That's kind of the reason why we do testimonies, folks, is to encourage others. We have a responsibility to each other for the body of Christ. Let's be honest to each other. All of us struggle from time to time, don't we? I know I do, okay? And I have to admit, there have been times that I felt that God was not working in my life. He wasn't taking care of me and my family. That wasn't the truth. That wasn't the case. I just didn't have the clarity to see what he was doing. But this world had me down. The enemy had me on the ropes. He was working me over, and I needed encouragement. So what does he do? He knows when we need encouragement, so inevitably he will put somebody in our path. Think about this. How many times have you been down, and he has put somebody right in your path, and they start talking to you and sharing with you what God has done in their life, and you go, wait a minute, I'm going through that very same thing right now. What the heck? And you realize that God saw that, and that he sent this person there to encourage you. That's why we share testimonies. This is why we get up here and we do these things. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you are doing. And I love this one, and it's kind of been the mantra of my life a lot of times since coming to Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And building on that, and this is in the NLT, and I love the way it describes it. It's in Ecclesiastes 4:12. One person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Another way to look at this is it builds our faith. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Your testimony is important. Write it down. You don't know the impact that it will have on somebody else. And this is one of the ways the Holy Spirit works through you. This is going to be a short message, and I'm about ready to wrap up. Now he sees me. It's one of the things I've learned over the years, and this is no reflection on Pastor Joe. I'll say that right up front. This is not a reflection on Pastor Joe. But I've sat through many, many sermons. And folks, there's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. Just saying. Okay, so I'm going to cut this off pretty quick here. And this is pretty much the end of it. And for this, I will need my volunteer. Everybody give Casey a hand here. Okay. I'm going to need you to turn around, hold this plate. You didn't know there was fire involved, did you? You scared? Okay. Casey is our light stand. Now, if I put this candle here and turn off the lights, which we don't need to do, but if we light that, this represents that lamp that they would use back in the days of Christ. It was a single candle flame, folks. It did not cast a lot of light. Consequently, they used a lot of them in rooms sometimes. But if you lit this candle and you set it down here on the floor and turned off lights, how much light would it cast? Not very much, would it? It would only cast the light right in this area. But if you lit it and raised it high, you're the lampstand, you put it up in a place high where it's supposed to be, it lights the whole room and everybody that comes in can see it. Such it is with our testimonies. Okay, bring Jack down. Thank you. Okay, hold up. Hold on to it. We're going to light it now. Okay? Wow, fire. Don't burn yourself. Okay. Just hold on. So in closing, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Offer you these to ruminate on over the next week. What is my testimony? How did God call me? Have I wrote it down? Has God done something wonderful in my life that I could share that might encourage someone else? Have I shared a testimony? Have I shared what God's done for me? When I was given the opportunity? Or am I hiding that light under a bowl? How much light is going to come off of that if I turn off the light because it's under that bowl? You ain't going to be able to see anything, are you? I'm going to show you something else. This is the danger of hiding that light, folks. Because given enough time, when you hide what God's done in your life, when you don't give Him the honor, the glory, and shine your love according to His will, what eventually happens? That right there. Don't let your light be extinguished. Show others love. Step out of the boat. Share your testimony. See somebody struggling, go talk to them. Open your eyes. How many times have we heard that? Wow, that just came on. Open your eyes and look around for those around you. They need you. And God called you for a reason. And remember, always. Otherwise, they're not going to want to hear you. That's all I got. Thank you. Everybody give Casey a hand. Thank you.
God, you met me in my doubt. Turn my anxious thoughts around. Let your praise be in my mouth. My whole life, my whole life. Open up my eyes to see perfect love moving towards me. You have shown up faithfully. My whole life, my whole life. I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times. My soul will sing of your love at all times, at all times. You've got the whole world in your hands, so I surrender to your plans. You've been a father and a friend my whole life, my whole life. You're resurrecting buried dreams, waking up the dead in me. We've been making history my whole life, my whole life. I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times. My soul will sing of your love at all times, at all times. With every breath I breathe in, I give it back in praise. Lord, I will keep on singing for all of my days, for all of my days. With every breath I breathe in, I give it back in praise. Lord, I will keep on singing for all of my days, for all of my days. I will bless the Lord at all times, at all times. My soul will sing of your love at all times, at all times.
This is kind of telling on me, but well, sometime in November, I put my batteries from all of my doodads, you know, Sauls and all that up, which I thought on the refrigerator. And I was out mowing and everything, and I was came back in one day, about 3 weeks later, and I looked where I thought I put them, and they were gone. I thought, well, I was out. Somebody came in, teenagers probably, and took the batteries. Okay, this went on until the day before Christmas Eve. I went through my cabinets, top to bottom. I went through my garage. I could not see them. The day before Christmas Eve, I was cleaning off my cabinet, getting ready, and I put this one battery that I had brought in, left in my cabinet. Mind you now, I have gone through these cabinets not once, 10 times, okay? I went to put it up in what I thought was an empty space, and lo and behold was those batteries that I was looking for. And you know what God told me? He said, you're looking farther afield, but you're not looking up close and personal. And by looking not up close and personal, you're missing a lot of things. You're missing opportunities that are coming your way, and you're not looking because you're looking farther afield. You're not seeing that which is close to you. And I think this is it. Sometimes we are so focused out here, and we're not seeing our families. We're not seeing our friends. We're not seeing those that are in the grocery stores. And this is what I've learned. I need to focus closer. Looking far is great. We need that too, but we need to look that close and personal. I need to see my granddaughter when she's down. I need to see my family. I need to see my friends and be an encourager, like he said, to be a witness and a testimony. And you know what? I expect greater things because we look closer and because we're still focused out here on the other side. We look closer. And Caroline looks close at her patients. She sees and she prays. Me? I wasn't. And I thank God for that. Although it really upset me because I couldn't find those batteries. But out of that, God taught me, look closer. And I think that's what he's saying, look closer.
Amen. Look closer. He's putting people in your path and they're right there. We are looking for the missions trip. When is that? The mission is right there beside you. The mission is right there next door. It's right there at the workplace. If you teach in the classroom, it's right there. Not that you shouldn't look for the mission, but remember Jerusalem, it's right here. Hallelujah. If you're sick this morning and you need prayer, I'm going to encourage you to come on up. And we're going to close, but we're going to have people up here to pray with you. Or if you have some other need, no matter what that need may be, we want to pray with you and believe God for his supernatural intervention. And I know there are people perhaps online who also have needs. And so I'm going to pray a general prayer for those who are sick. Some people may be struggling with this new variant. Some people may be sick because of flu, sinus issues, some have back pains, all sort of stuff. I'm going to pray for those needs. But if you want to have a more intimate time of prayer and hands being laid upon you, when we're finished here, I'm going to encourage you to come on up. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are God who hears and answers prayer. Lord, we thank you, God, as through the answers to our prayers that our faith ends up being built. Through the answers to our prayers, oh God, our testimonies, oh God, become alive. Lord, we thank you, oh God, that our prayers are based upon your invitation. You said to come boldly to the throne of grace where we can find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. And so, Father, this morning we lift up those, Lord, among us, those who are participating online who may be sick. Lord, we speak a word of healing into their lives. Lord, we rebuke whatever is causing their sickness. Lord, if they are sick because of this Omicron variant, Lord, we set a rebuke against it and we command healing to flow from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Now, for those who are suffering all sort of aches and pains, Lord, we command the spirit of infirmity to be gone from their bodies. And Lord, we release your healing touch. Lord, we command every pain to be gone. Lord, we speak to those muscles, oh God, and call them to a place of relaxation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, those who are suffering migraines, Lord, we speak healing to their heads, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, those who may have gotten a bad prognosis, Lord, we just heard Bud's testimony, Lord, of hearing that he had cancer. Lord, we speak for those who have heard that they have had cancer. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, rebuke your cancerous cells and command them to die in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we call forth only healthy cells to be produced in the bodies of those, oh God, who are hearing my voice this day in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, if you did it for Bud, if you have done it for others, Lord, you will do it for each one of us. And so, Lord, we thank you for doing it this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your word, oh God, reminding us, oh God, that when you work in our lives, Lord, we should not be like those nine lying lepers who didn't return, but Lord, we should be like that once Samaritan who returned and give thanks, oh God, for what you did. And so, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for the ways you work in our lives. We thank you, oh God, for the transformed and the changed life. And we thank you, oh God, you're continually, day after day, doing miracles in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to go forth and to shine your light brightly, that people might be attracted to you, O God, and want to know about the God whom we serve. Lord, we thank you again for your goodness and for your grace. And we give you all the honor and all the glory. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen.